Shalom. This is the Day of Trumpets. Bless you for listening to this today. We're going to go to Leviticus 23. That's Vayikra, or Leviticus 23, about the Feast of Trumpets, that late in the summer, late in the year, typically the end of September or beginning of October. And it says, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of the Hebrew, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month," I'm talking scriptural month, not Roman month, not the common or pagan month, but in the seventh month, so that's around September, October, "in the first day of the month," that's when the crescent of the new moon appears, according to our understanding, "shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of a blowing of trumpets, a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work," no servile work therein, "but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh." Now we know that Yahweh is our offering, that he died on the stake at Calvary, that torture stake, that gnarly tree for our sins, and he shed his blood for us. By his stripes we are healed, by the mighty name of Yahweh HaMashiach, our Messiah. "And Yahweh spake unto Moses," here in verse 26, saying, and he went on about the Feast of Atonement. So that's all that we see there. Other places you can read about the Feast of Trumpets are Psalm 81, Hosea, that's Hosea 12:9. And, well, that's actually a more of a tabernacle scripture. So Psalm 81, Psalm 98, verse 6. And there's many others here. We're going to go to the website giveshare.org, made by Giving and Sharing. And read a little bit in there. They have 1 Thessalonians 4, "For Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven." That's chapter 4, verse 16. "He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the messenger, and with the trump of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first." So they weren't up in heaven there, obviously. Any Christian could read this as well, that in 1 Thessalonians it says that they were dead. They weren't half dead or up there in heaven or something, dancing it around the throne room or on a cloud or any of that. They were dead, and Messiah shall rise first. So that goes also for David, the patriarch, as we find there in Acts chapter 2. David is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is still with us unto this day. There are two places in the book of Acts chapter 2 where it says that David, of all people, you know, that he's going to be reigning and ruling in the millennium, and even he is still waiting for the second coming of the Messiah for all of us to gather together. "And the dead in Messiah shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain," we haven't died yet on the earth, the others have, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with Yahweh in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahweh," with Yahweh the Father and the Son, Yahweh HaMashiach. In Zechariah 14:4, "and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one." 1 Corinthians 6:15, make that 1 Corinthians 15:51. All the way in there at the end of the 15th chapter, there's much text there encouraging us about the second coming of Yahweh. "Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We shall all be changed. Those who are saved, of course, will be changed. Revelation 11, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. I'm sorry about the wind there and the microphone. The pop-proof device here just isn't operating like it should. I'll just keep adjusting there, and maybe it'll go away. I was a broadcaster for 35 years, so I should know how to control the microphone, but it's just the style of mic here. You know, it's strange that there are ministers that, you know, they receive tithes just as a Levite would have received tithes. So these ministers in the Church of God are receiving tithes, and yet they say that it's not their duty to blow, or anybody's duty to blow trumpets for the Feast of Trumpets, or at any other time. So there's for the Messianics, yay, you Messianics are doing the right thing, and the Jews that blow trumpets, yay, because you're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, at least partly correctly, because, if not totally, because you're blowing the trumpets. It says Feast of Trumpets is for blowing trumpets. It wouldn't make any sense to have the feast and then not do what Feast Day is all about or what it calls for. What are we supposed to do? Eat unleavened bread on that day, or make Sukkots or something? Or what are we supposed to fast? No, it said to blow trumpets on the Feast of Trumpets. Once again, Leviticus 23:23. And shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing, no, of just sitting around holding trumpets, of a day of looking at trumpets, a day of thinking about trumpets. There we go. We don't want to actually buy one of those expensive things. Why, we would have to give up going to the Embarcadero for the Feast of Tabernacles if we spent that much money for Yahweh. Who'd want to do a thing like that? I don't want to, you know, I'm judging the motives there, aren't I? I don't know if I was or not, but that just seems like, you know, why wouldn't they want to get a trumpet, go down to the secondhand store, buy an old trumpet, and polish it up really nice? You know, if they can't find a shofar, then just let it be a silver trumpet or a gold one. Polish it up real nice, or maybe borrow one from the high school, you know, and blow that. Blow that on the Feast of Trumpets. But they said, no, we will not. We will not obey that scripture. And, you know, they obey everything else, practically everything else. That just bothers me so much. Why can't they just obey that one part where it tells the one thing that you should be doing? Well, we better lock Stefania up. He just can't control himself. Yeah, frustration about it all. I just can't understand it. Well, blowing of trumpets, some of the Jews believe that it's the birthday of the world. And we don't celebrate birthdays here, but they, you know, that was the, well, let's use a better term, beginning of the world. The first of the civil year for them, for the Jews, you know, it's not the, for the Hebraic, not for the true believer in Messiah, not for a true believer, or, you know, someone who calls himself a true believer of any kind. It's not our civil year. It might be, you know, in the separated land. But they call it a new beginning. And it is. The new moon is a new beginning. Every new moon, whether it's 12 or 13 new moons per year. So the beginning of the world is thought to be, and also Messiah's birthday. Oh, excuse me, there I go again. But, yeah. Talking about them birthdays. There was only two birthdays in the scripture, and they were both about heathen kings. So anyway, it was about Messiah's birth anyway, that Messiah was said to be born around the Feast of Trumpets or Tabernacles. So it certainly wasn't in December when the shepherds were out in the fields by night watching their sheep, you know, and it's getting down to 28 degrees or so there in Jerusalem, maybe with a chill factor that's very intolerable for everyone involved. So, you know, and they weren't giving presents to each other. They didn't do that thing either. You know all that. You know, I'm just reinforcing what you might believe about the feast days and what you don't believe about the pagan days. The head of the year, there we go with a little wind in the mic again. Maybe you don't hear that, but I've been hearing that. The head of the year. I can't say an H without that thing going on. Okay. Yeah, we'll get a different mic here, a more expensive one. A new beginning. A tithing year for livestock and vegetables. The day of remembrance. The start of 10 days of repentance. The year of release and jubilee. Year of release. The time of paying tithes. So that would be a tithing of the... should be the third tithe there. The days of awe. Well, that's not commanded in Scripture. It's thought to be the days of awe around the time of atonement. Days of return, the return of the Son. The reading and expounding the book of the law. Yes, that's scriptural in the book of Ezra. The time to bend the knee. The time for fasting and repentance. The day of Yahweh. Judgment day. Resurrection day. Yeah, we're going to be resurrected if we're trusting in Yahweh for our salvation. We're not trusting in works. Judgment Day, Resurrection Day, regathering of the Hebrews, putting the two sticks together, the northern and southern tribes, assembling the Hebrews for meeting, for war, the crowning of the King of Kings, the return of the Messiah to rule the world and the universe as well. So, and then the Jews started their 10-day of repentance, 10 days of repentance, a year of release and jubilee. The Day of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month and can never fall. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's calendar. Somebody's calendar rules. I'm not going to. We don't go by that because that's what it is, kind of a postponement theory that they believe that if they, the new moon can never fall on the first, fourth, and sixth days of the week because then that throws off some other things that we are doing. Well, but that's nowhere in the book of Yahweh, and it's not some sort of a mystery or secret instruction that that only certain people, Levites, know about. So we don't go along with that at all. But that's okay. That's what those people who are studying these things, they learned that from the Jews. But the thing is, you can't follow man. So whether he's Jewish or French or Ethiopian, you know, you just can't trust him for everything. You have to seek it out yourself in the Word. If it doesn't say, then you're adding to it. If you're saying that we can postpone feasts, because that would make, for example, if it fell on the sixth day of the week. Let me see if they have that. Yeah, they can't fall on the sixth day of the week. Feast of Trumpets, a high day. Then that would make the Feast of Trumpets a preparation day for the next day, for the seventh day, for the Sabbath day. Well, it's not going to be a preparation day. Some say it's impossible to do this, but we can prepare our things 2 days in advance. So if it did fall on the sixth day of the week, for Feast of Trumpets, then we would prepare our things on the fifth day of the week and get them done by sunset. Get our material chores done, get our work done, clock out at work, and get out of there before sunset, or maybe even get home and start preparing before sunset. For those who are able to even go that far, that would be really great. And then have enough for 2 days, and that's. There's got to be some things that if you have a child or a senior person in the home who needs to be cared for every single day, then, I'm not going to make a policy about that. But I can say that, I'm not going to live by the exceptions to the rule either, but I can say that for the general activities that we do, we're going to have to follow the Word. That's what I'm going to do anyway for me and my house. We'll do no servile work. We shall make ourselves an offering, not by fire. We'll make ourselves an offering there. Leviticus 23, verse 25. You shall do no servile work. And we make ourselves an offering. We trust in the offering that was provided for us, Yahweh HaMashiach, or Yahweh Hosha, the Mighty One of the Hebrews. Numbers 29 also talks about the seventh month. Numbers 29:1, The seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you, and you shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor. And it tells what they are, a bullock, a ram, seven lambs of the first year, and a meat offering, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And when they had, you know, this is the added part of the law here. This was not originally, but it came about at the time that Moses was giving the law, that the law of sin and death and the law of slaughter offerings was given to make an atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the month, and the meat offering and the daily burnt offering. And then there's, of course, the revolution of the year is at that time when the sun is said to, make a swing, or actually the earth is swinging away from the sun. The sun apparently doesn't move that much. So the revolution of the year, the tikvah, is the Hebrew word for that, and that's how we determine our times. More accurately, is going by that revolution of the year. Exodus 23, verse 16, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before Yahweh, and then it says before that, that all the family shall appear. If not there, I think it says it somewhere else, it says it in Numbers. Because we read line upon line, here a little, there a little. We read all the scripture that has to do with a particular subject. And that gives us the interpretation of that. The scripture interprets itself. It's not that I interpret and then I tell you what to think. That would be, a private interpretation. But it's that we gather, something from Exodus that says about the Feast of Trumpets. Something from the next chapter, the next chapter, and the next chapter. And we finally put all those scriptures together, and they harmonize, and they give us the perfect picture. Oh, that's what he means. I see. So we, for example, we would go to somewhere in the Evangels and the so-called Gospels, and there it would say that you need to be baptized, and then in the next place it would say in water, and in the next place in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach. And then, it would explain everything step by step, but we would have to read all the scriptures having to do with that subject. For those of you who didn't know, anyway, thought I'd throw that in. Since we're just sitting here anyway, we're thinking about the Feast of Trumpets. And it's actually called Yom Teruah, a blowing of trumpets. Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, is the head of the Jewish year, and there's nothing wrong with the Jewish people, there's something wrong with everybody, but the sin problem, that's what's wrong with us. Man has an innate sin problem. We are born with a sinful nature. We weren't born with a sin on us, that had to be forgiven because we hadn't done anything yet. Trumpets is associated with this time of year, with atonement and with tabernacles. Ezra read the law to the returning Jews from captivity. See in Nehemiah 8, which we've read, and we will read during the Feast of Tabernacles broadcasts, in those files about tabernacles. First day, second day, all the way, seventh day, and then the last great day. The Day of Trumpets is a new moon. Numbers 10:10 says, Numbers 10, also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with trumpets over your burnt offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your mighty one, before Yahweh, before the eternal. I am Yahweh, your mighty one, or the eternal. Not G-O-D. We don't use that title. Title is not his name anyway. And the word there should have been YHVH. And let's see, we could actually look that up for you here in a little bit. Let me, in fact, right now I'm going to go to a quick verse program just to prove my point, where it says G-O-D. I'm actually looking here at Nehemiah chapter 8. So the people went forth and brought them, made themselves booths. So that's about the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the courts, and in the courts of the house of G-O-D. Hebrew word 430. So I put my, what do you call that, with a mouse, the trackball, putting it over there. And there they have the Canaanite goddess Elohim. Elohim. So it's certainly not G-O-D, and really it's not Elohim either. We've already covered that in other areas on the Yabanah Yahweh website, okay? But so instead of Elohim, what do we do? You know, we put in as close as we know, and that would be the Eternal's title. That would be his name, Yahvah, Y-H-V-H. But technically, it's Hebrew 430, Elohim there, okay? I'll just have to be quiet about that, because that's all I presented to you. That's all the proof I have had on this particular broadcast. And some people, in fact, most people believe that the Elohim is a good word, but there's too much evidence to the contrary. But we're not going to force them to do anything. We're not going to judge them. We can't judge anybody to go to paradise, that is to New Jerusalem. I can't judge them whether they're going to be saved, or I can't send them to hell. I don't have the power. You don't. Only Messiah does, even though we will judge in eternity, in that millennium period, according to the book of the Revelation. So much information I'm throwing in here today, but most of it you know. Just encouraging you today on this feast day. Whoa, it's called Yom Teruah, blowing of trumpets. Psalm 81, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for the Hebrews and a law of Yahweh of Jacob. And this verse does not show that the Day of Trumpets is a Hag or Chag day, the Hebrew Hag or Chag. It is a festival, a Moed, but not a Hag, a feast time, not a pilgrimage feast like Passover, unleavened bread, Passover or unleavened bread, or first fruits, and tabernacles. It's not like those. This is not a traveling feast, although you could travel if you wanted, you know, as long as you were, you know, traveling to do good for Yahweh and to be with his people. Okay, so yeah, that's about all I know on that. New moons are one of the three types of separated times. We don't use the word sacred. So 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites for the service of the Sabbath, the new moons, and the set feast, as it's written in the law of Yahweh. That's 2 Chronicles 31. Ezekiel 45, in the feast, new moons, Sabbaths. So since the Day of Trumpets is the only new moon that is a separated day, it is also spoken of as the new moon. So, well, actually, all the new moons are days to be kept. This writer here didn't believe that it was necessary to keep all the new moons. But if we go to Colossians 2:16, let no man judge you in respect of a feast day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. It means that while we keep these feast days, that nobody can tell us that we're not supposed to be doing it, even though they try to do that. And I did want to emphasize also that giving and sharing, giveshare.org, is using the G-O-D word there. We are changing it here on this our website, because we can't use the G-O-D word. Okay, we must use Yahweh, Yahweh's tetragrammaton. And there's a few other things that if they're going to use Israel, the word Israel, we change that because we think that's three pagan words, Is, Ra, and El. There we go again. Most people don't agree with that either. But, so we use the Hebrew children or the northern tribes or the Yahweh's chosen people, or the northern tribe, southern tribe, whatever it might be. Trumpets is used to notify or warn, to assemble for war for the Hebrews. There's a lot of scriptures about that. And trumpets is used as a sound of peace, the end of strife. 2 Samuel, so Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after the Hebrews no more, neither fought they any more. Trumpet signifies crowning a king or a revolt. 2 Samuel 15:10, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And Hebron. Trumpets is used in temple praise. For example, 2 Chronicles 5. And that's kind of a long verse there. And I can't do it right now. Ezra 3:6. So what was that? 2 Chronicles 5. I'll tell you how to get this information here at the end of this file. This little MP3 file. Yahweh's voice is full of awesome power like a trumpet. Revelation 1, verse 10. In the Spirit, I was in the Spirit on Yahweh's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Or, in other words, the first and the last. The Aleph and the Tav in Hebrew, more correctly. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were of a trumpet, talking with me. Psalm 29, the whole chapter, the voice of Yahweh is powerful, the voice of Yahweh is full of majesty. Yahweh sitteth king forever. Yahweh's trumpet-like voice at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20, Hebrews 12. A day of trumpets should place us in a reverent attitude, if I could use the word reverent there, but I'm reading off the article about trumpets. Trumpets and Yahweh's judgment day. Blow you the trumpet in Zion. Yo Yahweh, or Joel 2:1. Zephaniah, which happens to be my name, or Zephaniah 1:6-7. How do they say that in Protestants? Zephaniah, but it's Yahweh is emphasized as the last syllable. Zephaniah, Zephaniah, she's. That's how it should be when we hear of different countries like Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Romania, that has Yahweh's name in it. Sylvia, woman's beautiful name, has Yahweh's name in her name. That was passed down from our Hebrew heritage, from our great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers a couple of hundred years ago, when they used to keep the feasts and the names of Yahweh, and then they got persecuted and different things happened. And they lost all of this. But we still have it, or we recently discovered it, just like Ezra and Nehemiah discovered the Torah while restoring the tabernacle in the book of Nehemiah. The message of the Day of Trumpets is that we should repent. Yo Yahweh 2:1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And I think I just said that earlier. Messiah comes to rule the earth on the Day of Trumpets. Psalm 47, verse 5 through 8, says, Yahweh is gone up with a shout. Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet, for Yahweh is the king of all the earth. Yahweh reigneth over the heathen. Yahweh sits upon the throne of his set-apartness, or probably Kodesh would be the Hebrew word there. I could look it up, but I won't because of time. But we could do that later if you want. Or just drop me an email, hit the contact button on the website, or get a hold of me some other way. Sign the guest book. But that would make it more public if you were to sign a guest book. Zechariah 9:14, and Yahweh shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and Yahweh, mighty the eternal, shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Revelation 11, And the seventh messenger sounded the seventh trumpet. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh, and of his Messiah he shall reign forever and ever. The righteous dead will be resurrected on the day of trumpets. Matthew 24:31. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. 1 Corinthians, I believe we read, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to go in a sinner and come out perfectly white. No, that transformation needs to be done now. That's a false kind of a Protestant teaching there that, you know, he's just going to wait. And, you know, nobody can be perfect anyway, so we'll just put on his righteousness. We'll call it his, you know, technically it's a pseudo-righteousness. And then we'll just kind of pretend righteousness until we meet him face to face, and then he'll zap us and make us perfect, you know. That, no, he's not going to change our nature if we're not going to want him to do it. If we say, I'm not going to keep the Sabbath or any day that he specifies, I'm going to do it on every day of the week. And so, every day, you know, comes and day after day, and they still don't keep it. They don't want it. I don't think that they want to keep Yahweh's days. They just want to keep it now and then as a convenience and kind of, well, for different reasons anyway. I don't know why they do it. They, you know, they like to keep Christmas or something, and yeah, want to go once a year to church and then feel that they've done their service. But sometimes there's more that what meets the eye that goes on there. So it's pretty hard to judge people, you know, to why they do or don't do, why they don't keep the feast days. You say, well, they're not saved, they're just extras around here, or they're not called. You know, I've heard all these things. Well, how do you know that they're not called? You know, can you make that statement for sure? Sure, we can see their fruits. You know, maybe they're not called. I don't know. But I don't want to make the judgment. Psalm 89, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Yahweh, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 98, with trumpets and the sound of the comet, make a joyful noise before Yahweh, the king. With trumpets and the sound, oh, excuse me, that's cornet. I turned my text here so that I can't read as well. I thought it was going to be better, but it's... The message to us in the day of trumpets, better be alive now or you will never be resurrected later. In other words, be alive in the Messiah. Ephesians 5, wherefore he saith, awaken thou that sleepeth and ariseth from the dead. Ephesians 5:14. Isaiah, then they got Isaiah 26:19 and Isaiah 27. Messiah shall bring and give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now you can even see other organizations that are not really that significant to me anyway, like the YMCA, that years and years ago they went downhill morally, you know, as far as their doctrine was concerned. Trying to find a better word for them, but... You know, probably don't have doctrines there. Israel to be regathered at the sound of the trumpet. The chosen ones are to be regathered. Isaiah 27. You shall be gathered one by one, all you children of the Hebrews, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Mitzrayim, and shall praise Yahweh in the pure mount at Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. So that category was from Isaiah 27, or Yeshayahu 27. The chosen are to be regathered at the sound of the trumpets. Yahweh's work must warn the world with the voice of a trumpet. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not, lift up the voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression. No, you're judging. No, see, he says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. It's just showing you what the sins are, you know. It doesn't mean that hey, I am sending you to hell, dude. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that Yahweh will be, you know, having to send them to Tartarus or whatever if they are so guilty of denying his shed blood for the offering for their transgressions of his law. And if they're disobedient to the point to where Yahweh will not fellowship with them, then he's going to have to judge them. The crying like a trumpet must be inspired by Yahweh. And 1 Corinthians 14, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Trumpets are used to rally Yahweh's people. He said in Jeremiah 6, also I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So see, there's where we hear people saying, we will not hearken. We will not obey. We'll not go along with that. That's Jewish. And, you know, it would be fine if it were Spanish, right? Or Russian, but it's Jewish. And hundreds of years ago, the Roman Catholic Church caused people to be biased against the Jews. Actually, more than that, goes down back to around the year 320-something with Constantine, and even before that time, when they started changing Passover around the year 100-something after Messiah. They started changing Passover and having an argument about that and started perverting his feasts, perverting the word of Yahweh. Why do that? You know, if you're going to have assembly anyway, why not do it right? That's what, if you're going to do something right, if you're going to do something, do it right. Right. Nehemiah 4, during the rebuilding of the Jerusalem wall, Nehemiah 4:19, the work is great and large. We are separated on the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Nehemiah the leader speaking, and our Yahweh shall fight for us. Now some people keep the Feast of Trumpets and the other feast days and new moons in vain. Mark 7, howbeit in vain, Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship, or rather praise me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amos 8, they are being derogatory there about the new moon. When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? When will the Sabbath be gone, that we may set forth wheat? And they falsify the balances by deceit. And Yahweh said there in Amos 8, I will turn your feasts unto mourning. And it just occurred to me while preparing this broadcast for trumpets that we're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. And so you can actually use this message on trumpets, but it, you know, it doesn't tell you exactly what to do. There's two things that I know of you can do. Well, there's more than, okay, there's about four. But you can blow trumpets, you can assemble, you can sing and you to Yahweh, and you can pray unto Yahweh to magnify his name. The one thing we've been created to do is to praise and magnify his name. And that's the one thing we don't want to do, especially when the time that he sets apart and tells us. Who ever heard of the Feast of Trumpets? I never heard of that. I never heard. Well, okay, yeah, we do see in our pagan calendars the Rosh Hashanah, which means New Year, and it isn't technically. The New Year is, you know, it's 6 months from now. It's in commonly called spring. I call it early summer. Yay! Around March or April. That's when it is. And that turning of the year can signify when, and then the new moon after that equinox, then we see the first crescent to that new moon. That first new moon, is that's actually Rosh Hashanah, the new year. That's Yahweh's new year. So why do we need all these other new years? You know, I guess people can celebrate the Chinese New Year and this and that and the other thing, but that's all in vain. Excuse me, Isaiah 1:11, and they're again speaking against, they're being derogatory about the feast days. And Yahweh says, I cannot smell in your new moons, your feast, your solemn assembly. My soul hates them. I will hide my eyes from you. And the phrase, your feast, does not necessarily mean that they were keeping days different than Yahweh, even though they did do that. What was his name? Jeroboam there, who instituted feast days that substitute feast days. Jeroboam did that. But that they were not Yahweh's feasts in the sense that they were not kept unto Yahweh, but for human vanity and pretense. But in the millennium, as we close, or at least we're getting pretty close to the close here, and it's going to be about an hour or so altogether. Yeah, so far we're at our traditional 40 minutes here of the broadcast. Normally I stop right there at either 20 or 40 because some people can't download this large of a file. I think we just want to go on and finish up here. So new moons will be observed in the millennium unto Yahweh. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and then 23. And it should come to pass that from one new moon to another, that doesn't mean the annual new moon, that means the monthly one, and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. Also Ezekiel 45 and 46. That's specifically referring to the Feast of Trumpets, so commonly called Ezekiel. Say Ezekiel, and you know you can't find the original manuscripts to prove that, but I'm certain that when people get the Torah scrolls and parade them around the synagogue room there, where everybody's assembled, the parade of the Torah, that they're probably carrying the Alexandrian scroll, or a copy of it rather, instead of the a copy of the original, a copy of the Antioch Scrolls. What difference does that make? But, read it. You can read it there at giveshare.org. And that's also where you can get this information about trumpets. You can get a lot more than I am giving you at that site and quite a few others. Let me tell you right now, okay, what I have for some of the others. Quick links here before we go on. Let's see, I go to my bookmark and then go to moons. There it is. And some of them I really like is Karaite Corner. That's Karaite-Corner. And they're spelling both words with a K. And quickly, what do I have? I have them all the time. Oh, thetruthofyahweh.org. Very, very good for looking at the new moon. Truth of Yahweh and the Karaite Corner. So those are the best ones. There's, who else that you would know that you would, one, the Truth of Yahweh there again. Truth of Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. Even though we disagree with them on that popular name Yahweh, which is much more popular than Yahweh, but they certainly do have good information there about the feast days and the new moons and the calendar. There is no Jewish calendar. Well, Jews do keep a calendar, of course, but the calendar that we use is right there before us in the sky at night. What Yahweh has said there in Genesis 1, that they are created for times and seasons so that we can reckon the seasons. So I don't know what he's going to do when we get into the millennium. But Yahweh will be the light. So obviously, he'll make it known to us. It's not that hard for Yahweh to communicate with us and tell us what he wants us to do. Now, right now, he's communicating with us. He's telling us we know what Yahweh's will is by reading the Word. And we gave you plenty of time. In fact, too much to get to Ezekiel 45:17. And I'm likely to read a lot more than that, that it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons, plural, moons plural, and in the Sabbaths and all solemnities in the house of the Hebrews, the chosen people. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat and the burnt offerings, peace offerings, to make reconciliation. Now, that's all been done away with by Messiah's slaughter offering when he was offered for us on the tree. And for the house of the chosen ones. Thus saith Yahweh, in the first month, on the first day of the month, thou shalt take it. So that's the first month is, once again, that's 6 months from now to cleanse the sanctuary, the set-apart place. And let's see, okay. And verse 20, and so shalt thou do the seventh day of the month for every one that erred and for him that is simple. So shall you reconcile the house. Okay, I'm reading scriptures that we don't need to read for this. But all right, then we'll go to the last verse of that chapter 25. In the seventh month, there we go, in the seventh month, on the 15th day of the month, of the seventh scriptural month, shall he do the like in the feast of the 7 days. According to the feast, Feast of Tabernacles here. Sin offering, burnt offering, meat offering, according to the oil. Like as Passover, in other words, he already gave the instruction for Passover. And then continuing into the next chapter, chapter 46. We could read probably all the way to verse 6 there, but no, we could read the whole chapter, but we gotta let you go here. Thus saith Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. Okay, so that could be 12 or 13 times a year. And the priest shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate. Verse 3, likewise the people of the land shall praise at the door of this gate before Yahweh in the Sabbaths and in the new moons, plural. Also see Numbers 28:11. And then the burnt offering, the priest shall offer unto Yahweh in the Sabbath day, 6 lambs without blemish, and meat offering. And then verse 6, and in the day of the new moon, so this might be exclusively for trumpets. Some people, especially Church of God people, splinter groups, would insist that the entire chapter referring to the new moons is only talking about the Feast of Trumpets. But, because many of them don't keep, those splinter groups, those Church of God people do not celebrate the new moons. They don't observe it. They'll observe the moon. They'll go out and look at it, the first crescent of the new moon, but they will not do that. So that's how they do things. And a lot of people agree with them. But for me in my house, we don't. we do that every month. And it's no big deal to, keep another day. That only makes about 84 days per year that we give to Yahweh exclusively for him. Somebody could say, well, I give him every day. Well, then what are you doing watching television and going to football games and everything? You're doing, oh, I do it for Yahweh. You go out to movies. Yes, I do it for him. I go to the tavern. Yes, I do that for him. You go into the house of ill repute for Yahweh. You better not do that. Verse 6, and in the day of the new moon it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram, they shall be without blemish. The day of trumpets is a memorial. Memorial is from the Hebrew word zikron, which means memorial, record, remembrance. Passover and trumpets are both pure day memorials. Passover reminds us of the Hebrews' exodus from Egypt, the death of the Messiah. Trumpets is a memorial of the greatest event in human history, the return of the Messiah to establish his kingdom. And it could also look back to the human birth of the Messiah, of the born of a virgin, the Virgin Miriam. And let's go to a couple of others here. Numbers 10:10, again, also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, the beginnings of your month, you shall blow with trumpets over the burnt offerings. Joshua 4, the days of the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children, the Hebrew children, forever. In Malachi 3:16, then they feared Yahweh, spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. That was Malachi 3. You can go to giveshare.org/holyday/trumpet, number one or two, to get the Feast of Trumpets, to get that article. So Malachi 3:16, and they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another. So they're discussing Yahweh's word, his teaching, his doctrine, the beautiful laws that he is getting us, his beautiful salvation, that he shed the blood on Calvary for us, for our sins, that he rose from the grave. You know, those are beautiful things to speak often one to another. Do I hear this when we get together? When believers, yes, we do. We hear it with feast day people, with names people quite a bit. But, you know, nominal Christianity and most of Christianity and all these different popular groups, large masses of people in large denominations, they seem to, and even Church of God people, seem to talk about secular things, even on Yahweh's feast days, his Sabbaths, and all of that. They feared Yahweh, and a book of remembrance was written before them. And Yahweh says, "And they shall be mine." Yahweh of the army says, "In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked." Now that's judging, Yahweh. You told us not to judge. Oh, you said in John 7:24 that we could judge. Oh, okay. The righteous and the wicked, between him and that, so you can discern or judge between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. And John 7:24 gives the reference there about judging. On the other hand, we're not to sit around and I've seen some people do that. UPC people, sometimes they'll look down their noses at people who are not like them, who don't have the embroidered, plaited hair like they sometimes do, or some of the clothing that emphasizes certain parts of their body. They look down on others who do not belong to their denomination, who do not prescribe to their doctrines, or to their Jesus only thing. And I don't want to put you people down if you are actually a member of that denomination. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't go around judging people like that. That's why would you do that? I mean, Yahweh said not to look down your nose and to think yourself better than another. So, my, you know, take it easy on others. And sometimes we need just to give them a little unmerited favor. Okay. Oh, GiveShare has a really nice trumpets quiz, question and answer there in part two of the Feast of Trumpets. That's giveshare.org/holyday/trumpet2, HTML or .html. So he's got a matching quiz here, and then fill in the blank and general questions in old, Sunday school style or something. That's pretty neat. The triumphal return of Yahweh is almost here. You know, it could be, and he said, Richard Nichols, who wrote this, said, "The sounding of the trumpets will bring bone-chilling, terrifying, and cataclysmic destruction and ruin to this world. There's also a very joyful note, the heralding of the triumphal return of the Messiah as King of Kings and Mighty One of Mighty Ones, the man in charge of all. With him, he will bring his people, his believers, who will reign and rule with him on this earth. The government of Yahweh will be upon his shoulders. It will bring the wonderful joy, happiness, and peace, and shalom that this world has agonized and longed for." Always talking about, well, we don't want war, do away with war, you know. Well, the reason we have war is because of our transgressions. You know, that's the thing to work on is repentance. You need to get on and encourage people to obey Yahweh, not to disobey and say, well, this was done away with, that was done away with, that, everything's done away with, you're done away with, I'm done away with. we just go too far with doing away with everything. There's nothing left. We just sit around and sip lukewarm tea on Sunday and say, we are saved. Oh, we're keeping a much better day than those awful Jews over there They don't know anything. We're filled with the Spirit. They know nothing. Boy, we know everything. You know, well, that is so hypocritical. And I was one of them. I guess I didn't quite get in on that. But we still have some of that in us. We all have some of that looking down the nose at others. So let's get that out. Hopefully, as soon as possible, but before Yahweh returns. And Mr. Nichols wrote, the Day of Trumpets comes to fulfillment as Yahweh returns to stand on the Mount of Olives. At this time, the mount will cleave in two, and healing waters will flow east and west into all the world, either literally, symbolically, or both. Then he's got the seven trumpets of Revelation, the seventh seal, seven trumpet plagues, Revelation chapter 8, you know, the seven seals, seven trumpet plagues, and much more. In that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. So, praise Yahweh today that we should lift him up and give him esteem and love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how do we do that? How do we love Yahweh? We ask for him to fill us with the Spirit and help us to walk in your statutes and judgments, your commandments and precepts, your testimonies, Yahweh. Make us pure. Make us to fear you. And like it is said about your law in Psalm 19 or in Romans 7, that the law of Yahweh is pure. The law of Yahweh is perfect, transforming our soul. We will not look the same as other people out there. Our activities, our way of doing things and thinking, our worldview will change dramatically and drastically and all of that. It's going to change when we obey Yahweh's perfect law. We'll lift him up. We'll look for him on that wonderful time, which is not that far away. Well, for some of us, we're probably going to drop off the earth here at any time anyway, due to old age. But let's read here in Revelation 19, and hath on his vesture, Yahweh has on his vesture and on his banner a name written, King of Kings and Mighty One of Mighty Ones. Thanks for joining us, Feast of Trumpets. Recorded the program in 2010. I'm Stefan Yah. Keep studying the Word and encourage one another. Yahweh is returning, and he's coming quickly to gather his believers. Shalom.